Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, August 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a computer show today. The backstory to that is Tony Yang, our computer expert, was going to be here tomorrow. But tomorrow, there'll be no Vox Pop because we are doing an on-air fund drive benefiting Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. So Tony said he'd come in today. If you have a computer issue that you need troubleshot, it's Tony Yang, operator of Albany-based Gig Computers. He is here to answer your questions. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, gigabytes and megabytes. Tony Yang is here. Your questions and answers coming up. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today is our computer show. Tomorrow was going to be our computer show, but tomorrow we will fundraise for relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. So Tony Yang was going to be here tomorrow. He's here today to answer your questions about computers. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Always great to have Tony Yang here. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Good to be back.
Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Don't want to give the fund drive number right now. This is the Vox Pop line. Last time you were on, there was all manner of hacking and terrible things going on. It's been fairly quiet since then.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Nothing. What's up with that?
Since, I don't know. It's a calm before the storm, maybe? I don't know. I hope not.
Well, it's always something. It's just we're in a lull right now.
That's right. It is fairly quiet considering all the stuff that's been happening for the past year.
But yet you always, in your line of work, you always have things to do, things to fix and things going wrong that you have to right.
And never a boring day.
Never?
Never.
Oh.
There's always stuff going on. You know, during the downtimes, we typically will go through clients' firewalls, look at the logs and see what's going on, such as WAMCs. I mean, there are over 100,000 attempts a day to get into this.
You're kidding
here.
Me.
Yeah.
Most of us attempt to get out.
That's right.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, there's always stuff to keep us busy.
Well, you know, we have the lines loading up here. So let's just get right to the phones at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We go over to Mary in Grahamsville. Mary, you're on.
I don't know nothing about computers, number one. And my daughter just gave me this laptop computer because I wanted to do my artwork in there. But there's no instruction in the box as to what I'm supposed to do. So I don't know. Is there a book for laptop computers for dummies, or what can I do to learn how to work this thing?
Okay.
Mary, you just named the book that I was going to recommend. there is a whole series of books called, it says book for dummies, but really not for dummies. They're just easy to read, easy to understand books.
But is there laptop?
Well, your laptop isn't going to operate any differently than a desktop when it comes to actually using
it. Okay, because I don't know how to work any of them.
So I will start with just the basic Windows tutorial. You can get lots of that online.
Windows?
Right. So you want a basic Windows tutorial. The laptop functions, you know, the only difference between a laptop and a desktop is you have a touchpad on your laptop an actual mouse on a desktop typically.
Which, Mary, by the way, I always try to hook up a mouse because I can't stand the touchpads. I can't stand them.
Do the same thing
myself.
But I
don't have any of that equipment. I don't have a computer.
Right. Well, start with your laptop, do a basic Windows tutorial, and get a book, Windows for Dummies, Windows 10 for Dummies. That's a it's a good book, and that will get you started.
So you haven't bought a laptop yet, Mary?
No. My daughter gave me one.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
She just gave me one, but I don't know how to use it.
Why don't you ask your daughter?
She doesn't have it. Well, she lives in a different area than I do.
Okay. Well, I think, you know what? You can always turn it on and give it a shot.
Yeah, never too late to start.
Well, I did, but I keep on getting something that I don't want.
Oh, what is that?
And they have all these symbols that I don't know what they're for, so.
Wow.
But I should get the book for Dummies for Windows.
Yep, Windows 10 for Dummies. I'm assuming that you have Windows 10 on your laptop, which most laptops come with today.
I have no idea.
Well, good luck, Mary. Call us the next computer show, and you'll be an expert, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Mary.
You know, a lot of the schools are handing out Chromebooks now.
Yes, they are. And the reason, you know, there are several reasons why that's happening. One is Chromebooks typically cost less than 50% of laptops out there, which is why Microsoft now has started to decrease their prices.
On the laptops. But there's a trade-off, right, with the Chromebooks?
Well, Chromebooks, you can't run things like Microsoft Word. There is no such software for Chromebook. But it does come with these free Office suite applications that are similar to what you would see in Microsoft Office.
But they don't have a lot of memory, right, in general?
They typically don't, because most things are done online. So not a whole lot of stuff gets processed locally. So you don't need as much memory as you would on a regular laptop. And the other thing that makes it useful for educational institutions is they provide free online storage. So schools get extensive amount of storage online for their students, and you can use that offline or when you get home or you're traveling. It does make a lot of sense, and Google is doing it on purpose. It's a way to get lots of people to
it's
use their stuff.
It's a way in the door.
Yep.
So times have changed. In my day, we had a couple of spiral notebooks and some pens. And,
that's right. I remember those.
Oh, the good old days. Let's go to Ann in Lenox, Mass. Ann, you're on.
Hi. I just got a message on my computer that said I have a virus and I should call Microsoft, but I think it's a scam. What do you think? I don't think Microsoft is going to want me to call them up.
Right. Hi, Ann. You're getting an advertisement on your computer. PCmatic is a company that offers virus scans and anti-spam, anti-malware software. So
are they legitimate, you think?
PCmatic is actually legitimate.
If they're legitimate, why scare the daylights out of someone like Ann and Lennox?
You know, sometimes nothing works better than scare tactics. You know that.
That's a hard thing.
And they use that.
I hadn't contacted them yet or anything. I was going to. I've had the laptop for quite a while. I'm just saying, when somebody comes up and tells you you have a problem, you need to call somebody, you should not call that number, right?
You should not call them. It is typically always a way to get you to either buy into something or donate money. It's a way to get into your wallet. Okay. So I wouldn't call anything that pops up on your laptop.
While I was waiting for the call, Firefox crashed and had to restart, so it's gone. But I just wanted to suggest to Mary, since September is coming up, that the schools offer night courses sometimes free or cheap for learning a computer, and also the libraries and the senior centers.
There you go, Ann. Thank you
for
that.
Such a great idea. Ann, thank you very much. You know what? What I'm thinking you might want to do anyway is do a nice spyware scan, just as a matter of course.
Yes.
What do you mean? How do I do that?
What Microsoft has the Defender software that comes with the OS, or you can download something like Malwarebytes, which is free. That's a software that we use all the time.
Malwarebytes, and that's M-A-L-B-Y-T-E-S.
Malwarebytes, B-Y-T-E-S, yes.
Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes, okay.
Yeah, download their software.
Malwarebytes.
Yep. .org, correct?
Just search Malwarebytes, and the official site will pop up.
And it's free software. It'll clean things up for you. Mary, or Ann, I should say, thank you very much for the call. Let's go over to Wes in Middletown. Wes, you're on with Tony Yang.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good.
I went up to my cousin's up in New Hampshire a couple weekends ago because he had uh, He'd been running his Windows 7 machine, which is an older machine, and Windows 10 started to install. And that, of course, is a big problem because his machine won't support Windows 10. My wife had that same problem at her office. It actually brought the office system down for almost a day until I went and fixed it for them.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I built him a bootable Windows 7 install disk so he could get Windows 7 back on his machine. And it wouldn't boot on his machine. I also tried building a Linux Mint bootable disk because I had sent him up a Linux Mint bootable disk from one of the magazines I get. And the original booted fine, the copy wouldn't boot. He has a second machine, and neither of these disks that I built for him would boot. However, after a couple hours, we happened to try his grandson's machine, and the bootable disks that I had created booted perfectly fine on that machine.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, what is there that can go wrong with a DVD drive that will prevent a disk from booting and yet show the content, the file contents, seemingly perfectly well? We weren't missing any files. There were no, none of the text files that were there were bad. I did not run JackSum on any of the files, so I don't know if, you know, the MD5s or any of that was identical. But on two machines, the boot disks wouldn't boot, while on one of those machines, at least, the original bootable disk from the magazine would boot.
Okay. We're coming up on a break here, so go ahead, Tony. Okay.
Wes, when you say a disk, you're talking about a DVD disk, right? Okay. The only thing I can think of is if the bootable device isn't set up properly, where it's actually trying to boot off your drive instead of the DVD
going
drive.
Going to BIOS and boot from...
We went into BIOS and had it boot first from the DVD and then go to the hard drive.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure why that is, and you certainly sound like you know what you're dealing with.
I built my own first machine back in the 70s.
Yeah,
so I've been doing this stuff for a long time.
Huh.
So you think there's something with the
Win
the original Windows 10 where it tried to install put some.
Windows 10, Microsoft got paranoid about people stealing copies, so with Windows 10, they've started writing your serial number into the section of BIOS memory that is, on older machines, is used to say, here's where I want my boot devices. You know, I want the DVD first, the hard drive second, the floppy third, whatever, and some other stuff that old Windows used to allow people to use.
Okay.
Anyway, when they went to Windows 10, they started putting the serial number there, and on some of the older machines, that memory space is already being used by the manufacturer.
All right, Tony, we're a minute late for a break here, so give one bit of advice here, and then we'll have to go.
Yeah, I would use the original disk and maybe make another copy of it and see if that works any better. Sometimes the DVD copies could
work on the one machine.
Yeah, that's a weird problem. You know, somebody that most of the time it's because that the BIOS boot priority is not listed properly.
You know,
but
nothing to be ashamed about. He stumped the band. It happens. We can't know everything. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Working on land protection projects that safeguard the water quality of Lake George, hiking maps, public events, and more at lglc.org. Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring We Plan, You Plant Garden Design Service with on-site selection of nursery stock, tree, shrub, perennials, privacy hedges and installation, whitneysfarm.com. Interim Healthcare, celebrating 46 years of in-home care, supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy's 25th anniversary fall gala at the new Thatcher Park Center on September 14th, interimhealthcare.com. And the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, presenting Pete M. Wire's iForest, an immersive sound experience, wildcenter.org for details.
Oh, hello again. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with Tony Yang. It's Computer Show today. It was supposed to be tomorrow, but it's today because tomorrow we are going to be on the air from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and raising funds to benefit Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. And so that is tomorrow. Today it's the Computer Show, and it's 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Tony, a couple of quick emails, and then back to the phones we will go. Okay. This one's from Francesca. Says, my iPhone won't connect to my Apple Mini anymore. iTunes opens, but it'll say it can't find or connect. Need to sync both. Way overdue.
So what I do, my wife uses the iPhone, and she's got an iPad and all the other stuff. iTunes does get jammed up sometimes, and the official process to resolve that is to uninstall your iTunes and then reinstall it. Make sure you do a backup first, though, before you uninstall iTunes, just in case.
So completely uninstall iTunes and then start again.
And then start again, yes.
Fair enough. I wonder if it maybe needs an update. There are a lot of updates down the pike lately on iTunes.
iTunes also has, like you say, updates all the time. So I will get the latest version, try that, uninstall it, reinstall it, and see if that makes a difference.
All right, and this one's from Thomas. What's your favorite cryptocurrency wallet for iPhone? First of all, explain to those who don't know what a cryptocurrency wallet is.
A cryptocurrency wallet. I'm not sure what you would get for iPhone, he said.
Yeah,
the a cryptocurrency wallet is so Apple Pay,
right?
That would be considered one of those.
And unless, there's a Samsung Pay too for Android.
It's you know, unless your user is talking specifically about, you know, things like Bitcoin, which is way out of the. I think normal people should not touch that for now,
unless you're an investor. Because it's doing very well.
It is doing very, very well. I should have bought it when it was, you know, $3.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
So I don't have an answer for that. I want it for that. I ought to look into
okay.
that and get your answer.
Fair enough. So that's another honest answer from Tony Honest Yang. Let's go to Joan in Woodstock. Joan, you're on.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
I have two quick questions. First of all, my iPhoto. When I plug in my iPhone and put it into iPhoto, the strangest things start happening with download 248 photos, and then turns out that only two of them download, but I can find them under the last 12 months. But it's just completely cuckoo. What's up with that?
Well, you know, MacBooks, just like any other PC out there, can get clogged up after a while. You might want to just go in there and remove all the software on your MacBook that doesn't belong there. Over time, you know, things can get installed on there that you don't even know about after browsing the web, the websites out there. So lots of times when PCs or Macs slow down, it's because there are other stuff in the background running while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing in the foreground.
And how do I find that out on my MacBook? What might be running, or you mean what might be on my iPhone?
You're having problems with
the iPhoto on the MacBook, and then the MacBook is slow.
Right.
My other question is, my MacBook is very slow, and I'm wondering, could that be because I have too many things on the desktop, or could that be this software problem? I'm not really sure what is the reason for the slow response I get.
Sure. The reason why any piece of equipment slow down is because there are lots of resident software inside the in the background that's running that you don't see. So I would go in there and just clear it out as many software that you don't normally use as possible. And we boot the machine, and lots of times that will solve the problem for you.
Okay.
And where do I find that, how to find that software on the MacBook that might be in the background? No, I know how to do it on my iPhone, but not necessarily on the MacBook.
Yeah, on the MacBook, you would just go into the system area. I have to look.
Go,
to see
you're going by memory, aren't you?
I am, and it's you know there are too many specifics to remember.
Right.
But on the systems menu on the MacBook, there are areas to look at what's running on your Mac, and the uninstall is obviously built into it. So I will start with the uninstall first and see which apps you have on there that doesn't belong there. That'll be the first step.
All right, Joan, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number here on a computer edition of Vox Pop. I know that on Windows, going way back, you can hit Control-Alt-Delete, go to the task manager and see the CPU usage, see what processes are using your speed. Is there something analogous to that on a Mac?
Yes, there is. I'm trying to remember what the command is to do that. I have to look it up.
But again, it's in the system
it
area.
It is a built-in part of the Mac as well.
Okay, let's go over to Marie in Stone Ridge. Hello, Marie.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
I am calling because I actually resolved a problem that took about a week to resolve, and I Googled it to death. It's called the dreaded Facebook white screen of death. And what happens is you log into Facebook, and it will just load a blank white page with www.facebook.com on top. You can't do anything with it. You don't see anything. You can't even log out. And I had it that problem for about a week. I couldn't resolve it at all. I was giving it all the time I had. And I tried to log in on my Kindle, and I was able to log in all of a sudden. Mm. So I got as much work as I could get. I logged out of other devices and things like that. But every time I went back to the laptop, the same thing would happen. So I had a friend come over. And the first thing he did was make sure that my browser was the default browser, which he found it wasn't. So that resolved one problem. And then the rest of the problem was resolved by going into the system laptop application setting. I have Windows 10 and did a systems update. I had never even knew that existed. That resolved the problem, and then he went into all my devices, my Kindle, my mobile. I went into my Roku and updated the systems in the settings on every device. Can you please talk to us about the importance of doing that?
Yes. So that is, for most people, 99% of the users out there, that's an important thing to do. The Microsoft constantly releases updates to their software, to their operating system. And the reason why they do that is because there are continuous issues that users will bring up. They submit a ticket, and they will find a fix for that, and they'll release that as a patch for the operating system. So whenever you see the pop-up on your computer that says that there are system updates, I will recommend you to install it as quickly as possible. So this particular time, it's to resolve a blank screen, but lots of time what's really important about the updates is that it solves security leaks on your laptop.
But Marie's point is a good one. Even like Roku boxes and things like that will often have software updates.
Yes.
Media, any kind of media box. Yep. Always good to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's go over to Max in Lake George. Max.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm looking for my laptop, and free would be the best answer if possible.
You dropped out, but the text here says you need virus protection and you're looking for free virus protection. Is that correct?
If possible, sure.
So I always recommend Malwarebytes because it's a great piece of software. It is not a antivirus program. It's a anti-malware program. Although their pay version offers antivirus protection as well.
So in other words, the pay version stops them at the gate. In theory, the free version will help you find them.
It will help you find most of the malwares out there, but not specifically viruses.
Okay.
So for virus protection, there are some software out there that are free. I think one of the softwares that we typically give to people is made by Kaspersky. There's a free version of Kaspersky that you can get, and then there's the pay version. Mm-hmm. I do recommend that you get a pay version. I think you're much better off. It is $30 a year, Some are more than that. I really do recommend that you get a pay version.
Now, why would someone want to pay? Explain that. And thank you, Max, for the call.
So typically, pay versions will offer you more features. The non-pay versions, lots of times, don't run continuously. It's only activated when you manually go into the software and start scanning your computer.
So in other words, you're not getting active protection while you're browsing.
Right, and there are things like a 360 protection all around, meaning it acts as the firewall for your computer, as the antivirus software, anti-malware, and with the free version, you typically just get one of those functions, and then they'll try to get you to pay for the full version to get the total protection.
Isn't Kaspersky run by the Russians? Wouldn't you be a little concerned that there might be a backdoor into your computer?
There has never been any proof of that.
Okay.
But look, there's McAfee, Symantec. Although those are pay only, there aren't any free versions of those softwares out there.
There's a bunch of them.
Avast, there are lots of great antivirus software out there. We recommend most of our clients to go with Symantec because we find that to be the most compatible across the board.
Really? And they're better in the old days. And again, talking Windows 95, Windows 98,
yep.
Old machines. Boy, they were resource hogs.
They are. They've gotten better over the years. And they're always on the top one, two, or three software vendors in the world. That's never changed. So it's a good company, and I think their software is probably about $40 a year. Well worth the money.
All right, let's go to Joanna in South Hadley. Joanna.
Yes, thank you very much for this program. One thing I'd like to add to the list of where people can learn about basic computer use is community colleges. Our local community college in Holyoke, Mass., Holyoke Community College, offers free classes in English or Spanish for people who have never even turned on a computer. So that's a resource I didn't mention. Then I had a question for you. Do you have recommendations on software where you can create PDFs? I know the originator is Adobe, but that's quite expensive. And I don't know if there are any kind of clone or other softwares where you can create PDFs that aren't as expensive as Adobe.
You can't do that anymore. Can you do that now in Word or one of those?
Yes.
In the old days, you couldn't.
So if you have programs like Microsoft Word, you can go to Save As and pick PDF as an option to save your document as a PDF without the Adobe PDF creator. So that's one way of getting around it. And there are other compatible software out there that will create PDF files. I would just do a simple search online for it. There are a couple of them that are free. I've used it in the past. I just looked it up. There's one that's made by PDFFilter.com. The thing to keep in mind, though, is when you use a third-party software, there's no guarantees. What I have noticed in the past is you don't get as good of a result as the original Adobe PDF. But it works most of the time, and it will be worthwhile to try that out.
Back in the old days, years ago, I used Nitro PDF here.
Yeah.
This was maybe 5, 6, 8 years ago or more. But, I mean, I think, if I'm not mistaken, right out of your Office program you can now save in PDF form.
Yes, it's certainly in Word and Excel. You know, programs like Photoshop is made by Adobe as well, but lots of programs these days would allow you to save a file as a PDF, so it will create the PDF right off the back.
Okay, thank you so much.
Joanna, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest today, and we go to Joe in Middletown. Joe.
Hello. Thank you. I've got Windows 7 that I run on my laptop, and a little warning message has popped up down on the menu bar down on the right. It says it's from Microsoft Security Essentials, which I didn't even know I was running, and it says your PC isn't being monitored because the app service has stopped. You should restart it now. There's a scary red button to click on that says start now, and I haven't touched it. First of all, am I even running Microsoft Security Essentials?
Microsoft.
I mean, I didn't download it or buy it. Is that part of Windows 7?
Yes, Joe. So yes, that does come with Windows. It is activated by default until you install a third-party software. Such as McAfee or Trend Micro.
Well, I do have Norton.
Okay, so when you install Norton, Norton actually shuts that off in the background, and that's probably why you're getting the message.
Yep.
And you'd be fine. You can just ignore that message, leave it alone. Symantec Norton is taking care of that for you already. So you do not necessarily have to run Security Essentials on top of that.
Just make sure Norton's actually running, though.
That's right. Yes.
It is running. Yeah, and it's up to date.
Yep. So you're fine. The that does pop up, and you see that on a regular basis. You're fine.
I have the same thing on Windows 10 with my third-party software, and yeah. I'll get the same error message. Hey, your firewall's off, but no, I'm not using that firewall.
That's right.
Can I delete it? So I don't have to keep dealing with it?
You can shut off the pop-up message inside the Windows setting. That you can shut off these system pop-ups if it's bothering you. Security Essentials. You will have to go in. You know, I'm trying to actually. That's a good question.
Whether you should delete it, I wouldn't delete it. I'd just leave it.
I will leave that in there just in case no one stops running.
Okay.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot. We got to take a break here. Tony Yang is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back with the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from the Discovery Center, presenting September programs featuring family, full moon, equinox, and fall bird migration hikes, albanypinebush.org. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world, waldorfsaratoga.org. Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, offering design-build services that feature passive solar and energy-efficient designs, supporting the local economy using local materials. Prefabricated house kits also available, noble-home.net. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. And Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat and holiday services, cultural services, and more. SaratogaSinai.org for details.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers, and the number is 800-348-2551, and we'll get right back to the phones, Tony, but a few emails here to take care of, and then we'll zip back on the phones. This one is from Ian in Saugerties. Says, I'm not too computer savvy, so I hope you can help. When I push Control-Alt-Delete, the three-finger salute, as he calls it, there are like 86 things running on the processor. Does this affect the computer speed / performance? And how do I know which ones I can end and not blow up the computer? Well, good luck, Ian. Be very careful.
So there are literally dozens. Even if you just got a brand new computer, just the operating system itself has dozens and dozens of background processes running. So you shouldn't be surprised to see all of that in the task manager. I would go in there and take a look to see if there's anything that looks unfamiliar to you, there's nothing wrong. I mean, you can't really break a computer down by ending a task.
You can always restart the computer.
You can always restart it, so you're going to be fine. I would first go into add and remove and remove as many software that you don't need as possible, and then see how many are left, and then go to the task manager and do it one by one.
And I don't know if it's in the task manager in the newer versions of Windows, but some of the outboard software that you get for antivirus or firewall will often have a startup tab, and it'll show the programs that start when your computer starts. Yes. And you'll be amazed at some of the things you don't need that actually start and run in the background all
That's
the
right.
time.
Every time you install a piece of software, it likes to have something running in the background.
Yeah.
So when you actually click on it, it starts much faster
right.
because the initial process has already started. Yes, that is a problem. And in Windows, there is an auto start menu where you can uncheck things that you don't want to run.
And it helps.
It does help, yes.
All right, this one's from Alan. What is your opinion of Kaspersky Security? I never trusted it because of its Russian origin. You see? We are all friends now. I prefer Norton and have had good results. They also use Malwarebytes paid version. Very happy there also. Yeah. So what's the best internet security devices? That's from Alan.
Internet security devices. I mean, I think you got the right package.
Yeah.
You know, the Norton plus Malwarebytes, that's what we typically give to our clients.
Yeah.
Although we use the enterprise version of Symantec / Norton.
Now, when you say enterprise version, and I know we have that, we run that. So that's one hub software and then satellite software, or is the software on each computer?
Right. So there is a client software that runs on each computer, but it's centrally controlled on a server.
Interesting.
So we could lock down the ability for you to uninstall it off your laptop unless you have the administrator password.
Ah.
So that's the difference between the local version versus the enterprise version.
All right, this one's from Edward. Received a new laptop last September, had wireless access issues. I talked to the Asus people on a number of occasions and Fios people. I sent it back to Asus, and they claimed to have replaced the network adapter. Afterward, there was Wi-Fi reception, but getting internet was then problematic. I spoke with Asus, a Microsoft rep, Fios, and an online file cleanup service, and after all of that wasted time and failed procedural suggestions, nothing worked. Before applying a hammer, I found that the laptop was calling for a Windows 10 update. After the update, everything worked fine, fast, and anywhere in the house. Any idea why that was happening?
Huh. Typically, updates don't prevent you from going onto the internet, so I'm not sure what's causing that. But again, I give the same recommendation that you always run the update that's available to your laptop.
Question it? It works now, right?
Yeah. So somehow the update prevented your computer from going on, but I'm glad that it's working.
I would have taken the hammer to the thing.
I'm surprised that all of these manufacturers, including Verizon, didn't ask you to do the updates, because that's typically the first thing they ask you to do. Have you run all the updates to your computer?
Well, I've never run Fios, but I know that the Wi-Fi adapter supplied by whatever X company that we use, would occasionally be set for channel jumping. So
yes.
In other words, if there was congestion in the neighborhood, it would jump channels. And sometimes the devices that we had in the house did not like that channel jumping. And you can set it for a fixed channel, but sometimes if you set it for the wrong channel, then your neighbor has it, and then you won't get internet reception.
You get very, very spotty internet reception. So some of the older devices, although they were meant to do channel hopping, but it doesn't always work.
Mm.
But then if you got anything within the past couple of years, I think you're in great shape. It's gotten so much better over the last few years.
And then lastly, Edward says, Ray, why can't we have a weekly early evening jazz show? Didn't that used to be you? And it's a very long time ago. Well, we'll see. If there are any raises in the future, we'll make it happen. Let's go to Irene in Latham. Irene, you're on.
Oh, hi. Okay. I used to have my old laptop, Ren 7. Then I had to change. Unfortunately, I had to buy a new one, and it ended up being Windows 8, which was horrible, and that was replaced by Windows 10. So I don't use DVD. Well, obviously, there's a drive there. But a few times, I very rarely use it. But I know I used it at the beginning. And it would play, whatever it is. Well, months later, like maybe 3-4 months ago, I put a DVD and nothing. So lo and behold, I tried many times when I went online, and what it seems like, there's millions of people, and what the consensus seems to be is that Wiley, mean-spirited, cheap Microsoft now changed their policy, and their driver for the DVD was only on a just temporary basis for 3 months. Now it's inactive. So you have to go, this is what I understand, you have to go to the Microsoft online store, pay $25, download it, and people, I haven't seen more than 2 stars for people who bought it. They say it's absolutely horrible. So there are many layers to this. One is it actually true that they are so cheap that they give you the driver for existing physical drive only for 3 months?
Answer that one carefully, hey?
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Most DVD drives just automatically work in Windows. I mean, going back to Windows 95, we might have a couple of issues.
Well, you see, I had 7 for my computer, and it was like no issue. I had it. It was Dell. It was problems. But as far as playing it, it's. But this is eventually. Unfortunately, I loved 7. Now I have 10. And this is what the consensus online, like thousands of people saying.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately,
it was only temporary, and now you're stuck and you can't play DVD.
Wait a minute, you can't get a DVD driver from the manufacturer of the DVD player?
You typically don't even need a driver.
Well, wait. I have the physical thing where I put the DVD, snap it, and it starts. And what it does is there's none. It just plays some kind of like introductory blah 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 blah. There's no menu. There is no nothing. No matter how many times I tried. So this is my unfortunate understanding from people saying, yes, that's true. The driver becomes inactive for Windows 10. Now you have to buy the driver that will. Well, everything needs a driver, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. So that driver was only temporary. And now you have to pay money, but the problem is that even if you go to Microsoft, buy there, it's a lousy quality. So I haven't done anything. I haven't called Microsoft, haven't yelled at them because I think it's outrageous. So I just want to see what you say.
Try a program called WinDVD.
WinDVD.
WinDVD. There's also VLC Media Player.
Yes.
Hold on.
I need to write. Okay, so wait a second. So does it ring a bell that there is no driver that automatically kicks in and starts playing DVD on Windows 7.
It doesn't sound like a driver issue. Download VLC Media Player.
So tell me exactly what do you mean? I go to website. What do I do?
Just go.
VLC Media Player.
Yep. Search Google and go to their site. Download the Media Player and use that to play your DVDs and see if that takes care of the problem.
Irene, thanks a lot for the call. We go over to Kathy and Troy. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Good program today.
Thank you.
I have a problem with my wireless adapter. I have a Dell. It's Microsoft, and I use Windows 7. I've never updated to Windows 10. Every time the computer turns off or it has to be rebooted, the wireless adapter goes away. I have to go into devices, go through adapter installation, and it actually find it. I never know which one it is. I have to select all of them and have the wizard reinstall it.
Yeah.
And that only, and again, it happens when the computer boots or it's turned off. Bizarre.
Yeah.
And it won't stay on.
That I've seen that happening when the driver isn't the correct version. You might want to go on to the manufacturer site and get the latest driver specifically for that wireless adapter.
Which wireless adapter are you using?
The one that seems to work is a wireless pro. Wireless pro, I think it's called.
So the PCs these days, they would typically have a wireless adapter from, it's mostly Intel these days. So, you know, I would recommend going out to the Intel website and download their driver, putting that on the on the system if that and see if that helps. So I think you got a version. You got a version issue with the driver. It is not the correct driver. So every time Windows boots up, it's checking it and it sees that it's not a proper driver for it. It does work, but it's not the proper driver for it. So you get a pop up that it needs to be reinstalled.
So explain this to me, Kathy. You're using a USB dongle for your Wi-Fi?
No, it's a wireless.
But is it built in? In other words, is this factory? Is this a factory receiver built into the computer, or are you using an outboard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yes, this is the one that came with the computer, with the laptop.
I see.
Yeah, I would recommend going out there, getting the driver right off the manufacturer site and installing that and see what happens.
All right, Kathy. I'm sorry. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate the call. Peter in Schoharie. Peter, you're on.
Hey, thanks, Ray and Tony. Good show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Hi, Peter.
Hi. We've got an old Toshiba laptop. Our daughter moved back home and added an account. When she did add a user account, the parents can no longer access the laptop because we never establish a name or password. And we're wondering if there's perhaps a standard username or password.
Well, by default, Windows has an administrator account, and you can set up dozens of accounts on a typical PC. So by default, it is administrator. There's an admin account built into it, and then as you create additional accounts, you can set them up as just a regular user account or an admin account. But yes, you can do that. You can set up several different accounts on there with different privilege levels.
But on the administrator, does that have a standard password that comes with it, or no password?
It is by default blank.
And then you'd probably be wise to create a password if you will be the administrator.
Yes, especially if you're creating accounts for your children, put a password on there. That way, they can't install software or uninstall it without your permission.
Right, and you can also, if necessary, set up parental controls and such, and it works out very well. Peter, thanks a lot. Our number is 800-348-2551. As we round out the program, Susan in Lenox, Mass. Susan, you're on.
Hello. It's so appropriate that I get to call in and ask this question. I was trying to stream WAMC the other day, and the instructions said if I was having trouble to clean out the cookies and something else. And I don't know how to do that. I've heard the word cookies, but I have no idea where they may be or what to do with them.
Cookies.
So that's browser specific. The cookies are a piece of software that they would leave on your computer that helps to identify who you are and what your preferences are for particular websites.
Right.
So it's pretty common. The way you clean that out is you, depending on a browser, you will go into the settings area, and there is typically it's under a privacy submenu, and you just have to clear it within that submenu.
Okay, so we go open up the browser and then the settings.
Temporary files or
which browser are you using,
files.
Susan?
What's the browser that you're using, Susan?
I have more than one. I can't remember which one it was.
Okay, so let me just tell you. Under Firefox, for example, you go into settings and it is under privacy. Submenu, and then there's a place that says to remove individual cookies or to clear up your recent history. So in Firefox,
are they called cookies? Is that how I recognize
them?
Yes, they are.
It will say cookies. Yes,
and that should do it. And if not, give us a call here. If you're trying to stream WAMC, it's the least we can do.
That's right.
Let's go to Roxanne in Schenectady. Roxanne, very quickly, you're on.
Yes, my Toshiba laptop. Instead of going to sleep after 1 hour. As I have it set for, shuts down, and it apparently shuts down improperly because I get that error message when I turn it back on. I've done umpteen malware, antivirus, etc. scans. So I was wondering if you had any ideas.
So if you've I would first verify that the settings within Microsoft itself, the operating system itself, is correct. And then on top of that, Toshiba and other manufacturers have their own built-in software that will allow you to do power management as well. So I will look into that as well. One of those is causing a problem for you. So if you verify one, go on to the.
But it's not the battery. It's not a some sort of an issue where the battery.
No, I have it plugged in, and yeah. I've had it for a couple of years. It started doing it like a couple of months ago or something.
Yeah. So there's the power management within the operating system, and there's also power management that comes with the manufacturer software as well. Look at both areas, and hopefully one of those areas will identify the problem for you.
Roxanne, thank you. You'll have to be the last one. Tony Yang, how do we find out more about Gig Computers?
www.gigsystems.com.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on short notice.
Thank you. This is always fun. Thank you for inviting me back.
And remember, you're not on tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. Support comes from Coldham & Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. C&HArchitects.com. Amherst Copy & Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making, and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. Wild Bird Junction, 308 Delaware Avenue, Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, binoculars, nature gifts, and garden decor, where people and nature come together, wildbirdjunction.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, dairy and no moo, dairy-free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang of Gig Computers for being with us today. Thank you for a great number of great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your calls are answered by Joe Makowicz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. No Vox Pop tomorrow. Our fun drive benefiting Hurricane Harvey relief efforts runs from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. We hope you, you could be a little generous and help out. Vox Pop returns on Thursday with the gardening show. Right now, though, stand by for news.